If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Brother Hank Jordan is going to come and he's going to read our sermon text for us this morning.
The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Thank you very much, brother. This morning we are going to consider those things together. Really, these two very clearly opposed groups, these lists that Paul gives to us, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. That's the title for the sermon today. It's one of the main things that we see in the text, and it's the simple contrast that we want to see, simple yet very stark contrast that we want to be made even more aware of this morning. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever heard this saying, or at least a very similar one? There are two ways of doing things: the right way and the wrong way. Y'all ever heard that before? Maybe from a dad or grandfather or a boss who was trying to really drive home a point to you, right? They may have said it something more like, there are two ways of doing things: the right way and the way you just did it, right? Something of that nature. Well, in the book of Galatians, really particularly in Galatians 5, the last several weeks from verses 13 through where we are today, we've seen this teaching highlighted, that there are two ways of doing things in life. It's not referred to as the right way and the wrong way, although that idea is there. The teaching that we see is that the two ways of doing things are following the flesh, or living in the flesh, as Paul says it. That's following our heart. That's following our own selfish, sinful desires, wanting what we want and pursuing that in our life. And the opposite of that is walking or living by the Spirit. So this is not following what we want, but it's following God's guidance, God's plan, God's will for our lives. And last week we saw very clearly that the way that we're empowered to do that, to turn away from the flesh and to follow the path that God has for us, is by the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is God, who lives inside of every believer. So today, as we look at this stark contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, I pray that you are able to take some time, and we'll do this together at the end, but that you're able to take some time to really look at these and to think about which of these things are more evident in your life. This first list, these things that come from following the flesh, or the fruit that comes from being indwelled by and walking by the Spirit. So let me read really that first list, the works of the flesh, and then we're going to pray before we consider it together. But Galatians 5, back in verse 19, says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." If y'all would join me and let's pray. Father God, I know that for many of us here this morning, that we have already had very busy mornings. And Father, that we have other things planned to do today. Father, I know that Sunday is only one day away from Monday. And many of our hearts and minds are being pulled to focus on what is to come this week. But Father, I know that we have nothing, we have absolutely nothing that we could think on this morning that will be more advantageous to us than your word. So Father, I pray that our hearts and minds would be able to focus, that through your Spirit that you would give us, Lord, a non-worldly ability to set aside all of the worries of today and yesterday and tomorrow and to focus on the truth of your word. Lord, not only to hear it, but to listen intently to it with our minds and our hearts, that your word would inform us more about who we are and who you would have us to be and how we can do that. So, Father, help us to for this brief time, listen to your Spirit while we are together so that we'll have more practice to go and do that when we're alone throughout this next week and throughout all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as you see this list, this is a pretty lengthy list. You find lists of sins in multiple places in the New Testament. This is one of the lengthier ones. This is 15. There are 15 sins listed here. And as you look over them, right, they're all types of desires that people that are teaching this can have to try and place these into categories of these three and these four. And maybe it's based on the outcome of them. Maybe it's based on the source of them, because they do appear to come from different sources, right? The first several appear to be kind of things that come from lust. If you have lustful desires, you probably deal with those first few. And then there's a group in the middle that really seem to stem from anger, right? If you deal with anger, then you'll probably have the fits of anger and the rivalries and the dissensions and the divisions and the envy, right? And then if they're the group that come from a lack of self-control, right, whether that's idolatry or drunkenness or orgies, like, we can try and break these down into all sorts of different things. And they appear to have different sources, but I want you to hear this from the outset, because I think Paul, now this is one of the concerns whenever you take something that was one thought and break it into multiple sermons, as I have. One thing that you lose is kind of the overall flow. And one thing, if you go back and read Galatians 5 all together, that I think becomes more evident is that Paul is really trying to teach us about the flesh and trying to teach us about the Spirit. But one of the things that he's teaching us about the flesh is this is who we are without God's redeeming grace. These are the things that we want to do. These are the passions and desires that we want to pursue and follow in our life. So hear me on this. When he lists all of these sins in verses 19 and 20 and 21, every one of these sins has one single source. And that source is us. Brothers and sisters, if you living in a fallen world with a sinful nature did the things that you wanted to do without God's intervention in your life, if you lived your entire life lost, this list would be somewhat of a biography of who you would be, of who I would be, were it not for the grace of God intervening in my life. Without the influence of the Spirit, without the guiding of God's word, I would continually live in all of these works of the flesh. That's what it means for them to be the works of the flesh, right? The flesh is us apart from God. So if I'm living apart from God, I'm going to be living in these sort of things. I would be an unholy, sinful person, because without God's help, we are unholy and sinful people. Now, not many of us like to think of ourselves that way. Not many of us even like to think of our pre salvation selves that way. We like to think that we were pretty good people who just needed some help kind of getting over the hump. But that's not the picture painted in Scripture, brothers and sisters. No, the works of the flesh are just showing us who we were before we came to know Christ. And we were selfish and jealous and lustful and prideful people and the like. Now, you might would make the argument, and I think it's a fair argument. Brother Zach, I even before Christ, did not deal with all of these sins. Right? I think most of us would try and immediately pick out sorcery. That's the one. Right? I'm not as sinful as this list appears that I would be because I never took part in sorcery. And I would probably give you that one. Most of you probably didn't. Right? Some of you may not have been very jealous people. There are some here that you may not have dealt with, and you may not be tempted to deal with now. So, granted, there are likely some sins listed here that you don't struggle with. But I would also dare to say that there probably isn't a single person in here who doesn't deal with at least one of the things listed in this list. That there are probably a few, but at least one thing that you deal with. These sinful works of the flesh, and if any of these are things that you are drawn to or prone to, then you have to recognize this, brothers and sisters, that we see that the flesh is still trying to influence us to do things that we should not do. That without God, we would continually be unholy and sinful people. And note this, in verse 21, there towards the end of the list, he says, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. This is not an exhaustive list of all of the works of the flesh, of all of the sins that we deal with. Now, we could name more. There are others that we deal with because, brothers and sisters, our sinful nature is strong. And it really doesn't know a whole lot of boundaries when it comes to trying to get us to do things that we should not do. So point one this morning is this: the works of the flesh are sinful and serious. Right? I want us to recognize that. These aren't just, well, natural things, just the things that men do, or just the things that people do, or things that a mama would do, or things that, right, we could come up with all sorts of reasons that we deal with these things or that we used to live in these things. But what Paul's trying to show us, I believe, is that these things are sinful desires that sinful people have. And these sins are serious. And they have to be taken seriously. Now, I don't think I have to convince you of that, because whenever you just read through that list, I think it sounds like a very appalling list. Right? This does not sound like a list of things that we want to take part. This doesn't sound like a menu that we want to order from. Right? We don't want a life. We don't want to live a life that deals with impurity, jealousy, drunkenness, rivalries. We don't want that to be the life that we're living, because not only are these things sinful, but they are serious because they are destructive. They're destructive to us, and they're destructive to the people around us. And so with that, I'll just say this before we move on. When you think about the things that God is trying to teach us not to do, things that he's trying to guide us away from, things that the Spirit is convicting us of, God is not, as I've heard people say through the years, quote, unquote, keeping us from having fun. It's not what God's not a joy kill, brothers and sisters. Right? People say, well, I just want to go do this on the weekend, and God just isn't any fun. But when you read this list, I hope and pray that this is what you see. God's not keeping us from having fun. He is setting us free from things that hurt us. That's what he's doing. It's a gift. It's a gift that we have God's grace to not have to live in this sort of life. That we have the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. That we have a new heart and a new mind that not only allows us to stay away from these things, but causes us to desire to leave these sort of things behind. We just talked about this in Sunday school. Brother Jared taught us this from 1 Peter 4, that for believers, sin is not something that we should desire, but is something that hurts and hinders us. So praise God that through faith in Jesus Christ, we don't have to live in the list of 19, 20, and 21 anymore. You don't have to do that. We're empowered to set those things behind us. So what is the opposite list, right? That's the list we don't want. Those are the works of the flesh. What's the opposite list? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, look with me, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. What a stark contrast. If I did nothing else this morning other than stand before you and read the two lists next to one another, what a stark contrast would have already been drawn. Because that first list, again, enmity and strife and impurity and jealousy, we look at that and we say, that's not the type of life that I want to live. But then we hear peace and patience, and we hear love, and we hear self-control, and we say, that's a list of good and godly traits. That's a list of lovely and desirable attributes. That's what I want my life to look like. That's the type of person that I want to be. That's the type of coworker. That's the type of friend. That's the type of parent. That's the type of spouse that I want to be, one that does these things and exhibits these sort of things. And praise God that through the influence and strength of God's Holy Spirit, through God's grace, we have received both a desire for these higher things and the ability to live a life that exhibits this fruit of the Spirit. And that's really what he means in verse 22. When he says, the fruit of the Spirit is. He's saying, again, we talked about this last week, that's capital S Spirit, right? This is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. This is God who is dwelling inside of every Christian. And when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, you exhibit these fruit. You are able to live this sort of life. So we have access to the sort of life that we see here, the sort of joyful things, the lovely and commendable attributes listed here, things that were seen for a while in the Garden of Eden. This would have been much like Adam and Eve's life before sin. You've seen a lot of these things. The things that we see our life will be like in heaven. It will be so peaceful. And we will be so patient. And we will exhibit kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness all the time to everyone in every situation. But brothers and sisters, we don't have to wait for heaven to get here to be able to live in this sort of life, because the Spirit is inside of us now, empowering us to do these things. And so point two is the Spirit and His fruit are gifts to us. They are gifts. What a wonderful gift that we are able to live this sort of life. Just a little bit ago, we sang, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. And as we did, I wrote this down because I was thinking that the first line of the song begins this: what gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? We sang that together. Well, brothers and sisters, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one and the same, right? God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit, they're one God. And so when we're singing, what gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? We could simply put in there, what gift of grace is the Spirit my Redeemer? Is the Spirit my Empowerment? empowerment. And we could change the title of the song from Yet Not I, but Through Christ Into Me, to Yet Not I, but Through the Spirit In Me. Now, there are copyright laws and things, so we can't actually change the name of it. But the same is true. Jesus is a gift to us. But so is the Spirit of God that comes to live inside of us and empowers us to do the things that we should want to do. What an overlooked blessing, the presence, the perpetual presence of the Holy Spirit is, who allows us to exhibit things like kindness and gentleness and self-control when on our own we wouldn't be able to do those sort of things. I do want to point something out to you that is deeply meaningful to me. When you look in verse 22, and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, I want to point out that the word fruit there, both in English and in Greek, is singular. It's not a pluralized form. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. Now, I said it that way for a really long time. But I read a book a couple of years ago that pointed this out. And it's that there is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. Now, what does that mean? Brother Zach, well, this is not an English class. Why are you pointing this out? This is why I'm pointing this out. Because I believe what this is trying to say to us is that if you are a Christian who is indwelled by the Holy Spirit, the fruit that will be produced in you is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Not maybe love and some patience, but you'll have no self-control. Right? Not that you'll have goodness and kindness, but you're not going to have joy and peace. Right? You might have some of the fruit, or you might have some of the fruits and not other fruits. No, it's saying it's one fruit. And if you're a Christian, you're going to have all of these. So there's a difference in spiritual gifts that is plural. Spiritual gifts are also given to us by the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. You've heard of some of those: discernment and generosity and administration and hospitality and teaching. The way that those spiritual gifts work are in that sense. You might have one or two or some, but Jesus is the only person who had all of them. There are multiple gifts, and we have some of those gifts. But it's not that way with the fruit. With the fruit, there's one fruit, and all Christians will exhibit all the fruit. And I pray that we'll seek to exhibit all the fruit in every area of our life. Now, we won't immediately be perfect at doing all of these as soon as we are saved. There's this process of sanctification, and we continue to grow, and we continue to get more Christ-like, and we continue to do them better. But brothers and sisters, no Christ-following, Spirit-indwelled Christian, I believe none of them can say something like this: well, I just don't have the fruit of patience. Just don't have that one. I've got some of the others, but I don't have that one. Or some Christ-following, Spirit-indwelled Christian who's just really stressed all the time, saying, I just don't have the fruit of peace in my life. I just don't have it. That's not how it works. That's not what the text appears to be saying. Well, the Spirit, He's given me joy, and He's given me this. He just hadn't given me gentleness. That's not how it works. The fruit of the Spirit are all of these things. These are, however you want to say it, and I really go back and forth, individual manifestations of the fruit, attributes of the fruit. I'm not sure. Did y'all get one of the children's bulletins today? Some of y'all did. If you look at it, y'all see that? I know, that's funny. But it's a tree. And on this tree, there's a whole bunch of different fruit. There's goodness and love and self-control. If you imagine, there are nine of them. So nine listed here. But it's one tree that has all that fruit on it. And I think that saying this is what the life of a Christian looks like, you'll have all these fruit if the Spirit's living inside of you. Now, I brought some pictures of some other trees I'd like to share with you. Can y'all tell what kind of tree that is? Orange tree. That's good. How do you know it's not a grapefruit tree? I'm just curious. It's oranges. Those are oranges. You're right. So that's an orange tree. All right, what kind of tree is this? Apple. What kind of apple? I don't know either. That's all right. Apple tree, red apple tree. All right, what else do we have? Which kind? Banana. This is the most responsive y'all have ever been. This is wonderful. Banana tree. All right, next one. What kind of tree? I knew y'all were going to say that. That's a palm tree, right? But it is technically a coconut palm tree. Coconut palm tree. Very good. That one's just fun. All right, so how did you know that one tree, the second picture, how did you know that was an apple tree? You looked at its fruit, right? We've already seen, listen, Jesus, we've already seen that text in Matthew 7. He's saying, how will you know if these are false teachers? You'll know because of their fruit, right? You can tell, let me just read again. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. We will know a person. We will know if they are a follower of Christ. We will know if they are indwelled by the Spirit. You can know if you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit by looking at the fruit in your life. Orange trees bear oranges. Apple trees bear apples. Coconut palm trees bear coconuts. And Christians bear the fruit of the Spirit. Point three, Christians will be marked by the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, I know this is not a proprietarily biblical concept that you'll know a tree by its fruit. Scientists and average Joes like me for thousands of years have known that that's an oak tree because it has acorns, and that's a pine tree because it has pine cones, right? And brothers and sisters, Jesus in his brilliance just takes the same concept and applies it in a spiritual way to say, look at the fruit of your life. Do you bear the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? And by that, you will know whether or not you are following Christ, whether or not you are indwelled by the Spirit. Are you following the flesh, fulfilling its desire? Or are you steered by the Spirit, submitting to Him? That's the question. That's the question this morning. And I want to do something that's a little different. I said a little different. I don't think I've ever done this, so it's pretty different. This is how we're going to do our invitation time this morning. Brother Nick's going to come. He's going to prepare to play for us, and Brother Shane's going to come. And this is what I want you to do. I could say, I want you to do this later today or sometime this week. But I've said that a few times over the last few weeks. And if I asked for a show of hands of how many of you took whatever I asked and did it during the week or read the text I said during the week, probably be a lot of hands to count. So this is what I want to do today. I want to do what I was going to ask you to do this week right now during this time of response. And I'm just going to give you two questions. I'm going to give you two questions. Do I exhibit this fruit in my life? Now, what fruit? It doesn't matter to me which one of them you pick. If you have your Bible and it's still open there, look in Galatians 5. Look at that text. Look at verses 22 and 23. Look to see the fruit of the Spirit. Pick one. If you don't know, start with peace. Or if you look at it and one of them stands out, pick kindness, pick love, pick self-control, pick any of them. But just pick one of them. And in just a couple moments, Brother Nick's going to play softly, and we're just going to have a time for you to stop and consider, do I exhibit this fruit in my life? I'll do gentleness. Can I look at my life? Can I look? And I don't say like in general. I want you to be specific. I say, yeah, I can see gentleness. Where? Zach, where do you exhibit gentleness in your life? I want you to stop and think about that. Now, here's what I'm doing double here. I want you to do this later in this week with every one of these. Maybe you take one per day. Actually, I'll send that on the remind message this week for those of you who get the remind message to try and help you. But do one per day and just really think, do I exhibit this aspect of the fruit in my life and where? Where do I see this? And then the second question, are there areas in my life where I don't display this aspect of the fruit? Right? So, yeah, I can see gentleness here, but you know what? There's another area that I don't. I say that because this happened for me personally a couple of years ago as I was looking at the fruit of the Spirit. I recognize that I do exhibit patience, particularly as a pastor. I exhibit patience in counseling, in dealing with volunteers, in dealing with staff members. The Lord has given me this great ability to show patience and even sometimes what we would call long suffering. Great patience, I call it. But then I would go home and with my kids, I was not exhibiting the same type of patience. I realized that I have been empowered by the Spirit to show patience, but I wasn't showing it in every area, in every role of my life. So I was patient with members and with staff members, but not with my kids. And hear me on this, that's not okay. It's not okay. So if some of you look and you say, yes, I am very gentle with my spouse, but I am not gentle with my coworkers, that's not okay. I show self-control in what I eat, but not in what I say and what I post on social media, or not in what I watch and look at during the week. Hear me, it's not okay. The fruit of the Spirit should not... Not only should all of them be exhibited in our life, all of them should be exhibited in every area of our life. There's self-control in everything I do. There's gentleness in everything that I do. There's peace and patience in everything that I do. I show love to everybody that I meet. So we're going to take this time now. If you, in examining this, recognize that you're not finding any fruit, you're looking at your life and you're not finding any fruit, then maybe that's just because the Spirit's not in you. You've never come to faith in Jesus Christ and you're not a Christian. And so you don't have the power to exhibit this sort of fruit. If that's you, then that should be a warning sign. That should be a call that you need Christ to be set free from the flesh and empowered to live by the Spirit. And I'd love to start a conversation with you about what that looks like. Maybe you're here and you'll recognize that there's fruit, but some of them aren't as prevalent, or areas that you can't find them. Pray. Pray and ask God. God, I want to show gentleness in this area and in this area. God, I want to show self-control in this area and in this area. God, I'm not very patient, but I know your Spirit inside of me can help me to be more patient. God, give me that strength. So this morning, I'm going to invite you to stand. And as you have that one in your mind, take some time and think about, do I see this? Where do I see it? And if it's lacking, or if there are areas it's lacking, pray and ask God to help you. Or if you find that there's no fruit, come and let's start a conversation about what it means to have faith in Christ. So Brother Nick's going to play, and then after a little bit, Brother Shane's going to come in and lead us in a hymn of response. But you take some time to think through this individually.